Today on Indy's Real Estate Gurus, we're going to be talking with Brian Arnold, Realtor, with Keller Williams. Brian is what we call a whale in the industry, $60 million in sales in the last 5 years. He's got a team. He's on it. He's successful. You need to listen today to learn about real estate with Brian Arnold.
Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmus NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Thank you for listening. This is Rick Rickma, your hard working mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold, also the hard working mortgage guy. And we're both with Advisors Mortgage Group. And listen to our podcast, Indy's Real Estate Gurus. Or if you have any questions for any of us, you can go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com.
And as promised, we have guru real estate agent Brian Arnold. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Good. We wanted to talk to you about why you got into real estate. Really, let's talk about the background a little bit. What did you do before, and what kind of drove you to get into real estate?
Well, that's a great question. So I used to work at the Pint Room in Carmel. I was the general manager there, managed about 50 employees. It was a lot of fun. Probably would have never left it had we've been going down the road of – you start to get older, you don't want to work as many hours, working weekends, working weekend nights. And one of my best bartenders actually started in real estate and was talking about how he was absolutely crushing it. And it made me explore that a little more. And I decided to jump in with both feet and get into real estate, interviewed with a couple different companies around town, and ultimately decided on Keller Williams would be the best fit for me.
Keller Williams is considered like the top place to work. Obviously, there's a lot of good real estate offices out there, but they have a tremendous reputation.
Yeah, what kind of drew me to them was their education, their focus on education. So as a newer agent, you don't really know anything. I mean, you take that real estate exam, I think it's 90 hours of coursework. It's not a lot. And so learning the actual industry and the ins and outs of it, it really gave me a leg up to hit the ground running.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me. I bartended myself years and years and years ago. And so your bartender got into real estate. They must have still been bartending, because that's a lot of real estate people to get going. They keep their other jobs. Did you do that, or did you jump in full bore?
No, I gave my notice and jumped in full bore. And
wow.
I got my first paycheck, or I guess commission check, was about 6 months after I left my job. So
wow. So you have guts too.
Yeah, it took a leap of faith for sure.
Were you married at the time, or just?
Oh, no. It was just me. It was easier to make that decision when I didn't have anyone else relying on me.
Yeah. So before real estate, before working in the restaurant industry, where'd you grow up? What did you do?
So I grew up in Crown Point, Indiana. So I'm a Hoosier, born and raised. And then I went to Wabash College and ended up working for my fraternity after school in Boston. So a little bit of eclectic background, and then I came back and settled on Indianapolis. All my friends had moved here after college, and so that's kind of where I decided to settle.
Yeah. So the good news is he doesn't have that Boston accent,
right?
So do you prefer here or Boston?
Boston was great. Boston is wildly expensive. So, when I look at Indianapolis and around here, what your money can get you and the life that you can have is just so much more different in the Midwest. And I think that's why Indianapolis is one of the fastest growing cities in the United States. What you can get here for your money is tremendous, along with a strong job market.
Yeah, you might see this too. We've seen a huge insurgent of people from other areas moving into Indianapolis. A lot when the pandemic hit, it seemed like we got a lot of people from California and Colorado for some reason.
Yeah, I had two clients from Colorado this year. I mean, you look at other places across the country, even somewhere as close as Chicago. You know, my first condo here in Indianapolis was $85,000. My mortgage with my HOA fees, everything was $630. My friend in Chicago bought a condo smaller, and his taxes were more than my mortgage payment for the year.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a crazy thing. That's one of the things you see when you see around the country. Not only are our prices reasonable, as much as we are all complain about our property taxes, they're really reasonable here.
Extremely reasonable. It just makes your affordability just go that much further. Your dollar goes that much further.
Yeah, it does. Now, you'd said you're married, and any kids?
No kids yet. We're expecting. So we got married last year. We're expecting our first child in January, and we are currently building a house in Noblesville that's scheduled to be done before the end of the year. So doing all the things at once.
Yeah. You don't have any stress in your life then, do you?
Nope. None at all.
No, the wife's going to have the stress. She's going to have the baby and then move in, make sure it's all ready. We basically did that with our first one. So, yeah, that's a lot to put around.
Yeah.
But I think she has a plan. She doesn't want to move everything. So she'll be pregnant with the baby. She's going to make you move everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's just going to be how it goes.
So when is the house going to be done?
Scheduled to be done December 27th.
Oh, wow. So you'll be in it before the baby's supposed to be here.
Correct. Hopefully everything goes to plan and everything stays on schedule.
Yeah, that's awesome.
A couple weeks later on the build and a couple weeks early on the baby, it could be a little hairy.
Yeah. I my wife was 4 weeks late on all three of ours. So that's just, the doctor said that you just carry them longer than everybody else. But
yeah,
it's that can be crazy. So you're building a home in Noblesville. You are having a baby. And you have a booming real estate business.
Yeah, so this year has been about 100% increase over last year, and last year was about 100% increase over the year prior. So it's been a good run here. I think it's been a good run for quite a few people. I think I'm in an age group that really lends itself to a booming real estate career as the United States is forming about 1.7 million families a year. And so a lot of the people I work with are around my age. They're doing the same things I'm doing. They're building a new house or getting a bigger space because they're starting families.
And your industry has the same issue that we have in the lending industry, and that is the average age is like 60 something years old. It's higher in the real estate industry than in the lending industry. So I think it's a perfect opportunity for somebody who like has the knowledge and experience that you have to really build a great career.
Yeah. I think that, you know, how I got into the industry, a lot of people, they don't have the same support system that maybe I had, to be able to not make any income for 6 months. And so it's very difficult. A lot of people want to go half and half, and they do. A lot of people want to do the most expensive transaction in their entire life with someone that's not doing it full time.
Yeah, that can be tough. So when you're not working and you're not taking care of your family and building a house, what do you do for fun?
Well, I do a lot of things for fun, but you know, after managing the Pint Room, I became very accustomed to the 124 drafts they had on. So I do enjoy beverages, especially beer and bourbon. So, you know, whether it's a 15% thick barrel-aged stout that looks like motor oil, or a nice refreshing sour, or a Saison, or a nice lager that you can enjoy on the golf course. That's kind of something I do heavily. I am very much in, you know, I'll do beer tastings and bourbon tastings and then enjoy a little bit of golf as well.
Well, I'm into bourbon. So what's your favorite bourbon?
Well, that's a good question. I'm a fairly newbie into that. I've only been, you know, into bourbon for the last 4 or 5 years. But I enjoy a wheated bourbon. It's a little sweeter. You know, bourbon is more than 50% corn, and so I prefer a little more wheat there in that bourbon. That's mostly corn, and that's kind of my wheelhouse.
So, if a client wants to get with you and go out over a couple beers and talk about homes, how would they reach you?
My number is 219-776-0622, or you can reach me at Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, at listingindy.com. And so that's where you can get a hold of me. I also have my realtor page on Facebook, and if you just search Brian Arnold Realtor Carmel, you should be able to come up. I should come up the first search on Google.
Awesome. And we should tell everybody, you guys aren't related.
No.
Never met each other before, right?
No. There's a lot of Arnolds out there. You'd be so surprised.
Yeah.
Well, when my wife got married, she had a different last name, and she always had to spell it. And then I go, hey, all you have to do is say Arnold. So she's like, and she never asked. She goes, this is so much easier. I'm like, yeah, everybody knows how to spell Arnold.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you spell it normal, too.
Yes.
Some people, I mean, I don't know. RIPMA's a little different, but I think in some ways that's good. You know, people, I'm the only RIPMA around. You know, my kids are around. I mean, nobody else is in mortgages. So I think that's extremely helpful. So now I'm not into beer. My wife is hugely into beer. My kids, I mean, it seems like both whiskey and beer right now are like really in.
Well, I think you look at any collectible. I would classify even Bitcoin as a collectible. I mean, most of that stuff exploded during the pandemic. People were sitting at home. They couldn't go to concerts. They couldn't go to the Colts games. They couldn't do anything. And like, what am I going to spend my money on? I mean, I know so many people into Jordan sneakers. I mean, I know so many people into Pokemon cards or basketball cards. Well, I got into bourbon and beer even more heavily. And it's, you know, it's not just your normal beer. I mean, some of those beers that I have take 5 years to produce. I mean, they brewed it, and then they barrel-aged it, and then they barrel-aged it again, then they bottle-conditioned it. And so by the time it actually, from it's made to the time it gets into my hands, it's been 4 or 5 years, which a lot of people don't realize that some of that beer is almost like a wine. I mean, you can age it for 15, 20 years.
Yeah, I thought beer was pretty quick.
Yeah.
Most of it is, right?
Yeah, most of the brewing process is, but the things after the fact to get it to where that brewer wants it. I mean, it's almost like a piece of art.
It is amazing how they can make it taste differently. Now, people will say, oh, I taste the chocolate in it. I'm not a huge beer drinker, but if I drink it and they say it's got chocolate in it, I can't. I don't know I'm tasting the chocolate. Tastes good.
I get you a beer, I guarantee you'll taste the chocolate in it.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that.
Yeah, I'm not a big beer drinker, so I drank casually when I was growing up, go through college and all that. But then once I got married, my wife didn't really drink, so then I didn't drink, and so I'm the one left out of this conversation here. So with me, nice glass of milk and a thing of cookies at night, I'm just fine.
Yeah, my life may be trending that way here shortly.
Yeah, it is funny when you have kids how much things change, especially when they're little.
Yeah.
Now, does your wife work?
Yeah, so she's a second grade teacher at Mount Vernon over in McCordsville.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So she's excited. She has. Hopefully, she brings that patience from her work experience home.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, trust me, you got to have patience for those second graders. Trust me, that's where my boy is right now. You have to have patience.
Yeah, she's a saint. So.
And did you meet her in the restaurants?
No, we actually met on Match.com. Surprisingly,
really?
Yeah. So we both our first date was on the golf course, and we went.
Who
to
– Who won?
We played a stroke a hole, and she won. So she's actually a pretty good golfer. Last time we went out and played, I only beat her by 3 strokes straight up. So she is she can hit the ball.
Yeah, it's amazing. My wife isn't into sports, but my kids have dated, like my son who's married, his wife. I think the first time they played tennis, she beat him, and I never let him hear the end of that one. Not, just to make sure. But, you know, everybody's different. Everybody has different, you know, things that they like to do. And she's just really good at tennis. And he wasn't. He wasn't very good at tennis. But she was very good at tennis. So as you moved on, you've got your family. We've talked about, you know, what you do for recreation. Sounds like you have a lot of excitement going on. We talked a little bit about the business, but we'd really like to hear more about your business and what you do. We're going to do that after the break. And so when we get back, we're going to talk more with Brian about his business and how he does real estate, really what sets him apart.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickman.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us. This is Rick Ritma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold, and we're both with Advisors Mortgage Group. And if you did miss this first 15 minutes of listening to Brian Arnold talk, you have to go to a podcast and listen to it. And it is Indy's Real Estate Gurus. Now, I think it's time to give Brian the question of the week.
I think so, too.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
The question of the week is brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group, where we fit your mortgage to your needs. Contact us today to get your free mortgage plan. Go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. And if you want to also talk with Brian Arnold, how would you get a hold of him?
219-776-0622. Or you can email me at Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, at listingindy.com. And if you search in Google, Brian Arnold Realtor, I should be the first thing that comes up on your search.
Actually, Arnold should also pull up Ian Arnold, but not just going to get in there. All right. So Rick and I are both huge car guys. So trick question of the week. What was your first car?
My first car was a hand-me-down from my parents, and it was a Ford Escort wagon.
Oh, awesome. What color?
Tan. It was perfect.
It sounds like it.
It started to shake a little bit when you got to about 55 miles an hour, and had a nice big piece missing out of the grill from a shopping cart that hit it. So it was the perfect car for a 16-year-old.
It actually is.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them. That's the key is you don't want them in anything that's going to go too fast or any, you know. And if it shakes at 55, you kind of took care of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have no idea what would drive someone to buy that car, but I'm happy I got a car when I turned 16.
Right.
So that was nice. I just need you to put the wood panels on the side.
It didn't have wood panels, thankfully. So it was but the Ford Escorts, those things were small, and then you made it a wagon. It was just a weird car.
Yeah. But do you have good memories of it?
Oh, yeah, great memories.
It's the first car. No matter what it seems to be, everybody has just great memories of the car.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was king of the school driving up in that sucker.
All right. So we've talked a lot about how you got into the real estate business, and then we talked about your hobbies of this guy likes to drink. So definitely if you want to meet him at a house, bring him a couple beers.
It was implied.
Well, what I have found for most people, especially if you're really into it, like you don't drink a lot, but you savor what you have.
You enjoy.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
I'm not saying he's drunk. Come on. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
All right. But so let's get into how you do your business, because you are a phenomenal realtor. What makes you different than everybody, the next guy on the street?
Well, what I like to say is that, you know, when you're buying a house and actually going through the process again right now, is that it's extremely stressful. It is emotional. It is financially stressful. It is all of the things. It really puts people through the ringer when they're moving in their house. And you know, being able to recognize that and have the experience to navigate any pitfalls that happen during the transaction, you know, most are going to go smooth. But when they don't, you want someone by your side that's been through it before, that knows exactly what you're going through and can relate and also offer solutions on a rapid pace to make sure that we're going towards your goal of moving to whatever it is. I need to downsize, or I'm having a divorce and I need to get out of the situation quickly, or I need more space for my kids because I'm having another one on the way, or I just got two more dogs, or someone, you know, my mom is not feeling as well and now I need to get a bedroom on the main floor so they can move in with us. Whatever that situation is, you know, I want to get you to that goal, and there's always going to be pitfalls that come up. And you know, when I first started in real estate, my first year I did 70 deals. I was on a team, and that team, you know, I would not have made it had I not joined that team. It gave me a lot of experience, and those 70 transactions in my first year were like threw me in the crucible to get me to where I am today.
I bet there's not many real estate agents who started out in the first year they did 70 deals.
Yeah, it was a little nuts. I went on 225 listing appointments that first year.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, so it was a totally different business model than I kind of incorporate today. So that was a lot of internet lead hunting. So, you know, whether it's Homelite or Zillow or whatever, Dave Ramsey, whatever those leads were coming from, you know, I was going on those appointments and trying to sign people up. And now my business is more referral-based. So when I go on an appointment or meet with somebody, it's because they trust me. And so building that trust with people that you don't know was kind of you know, I was able to do that effectively, and now it's just a different business model.
Yeah, one thing I did look is I looked at I like to always look at people's reviews and stuff like that. Your Google reviews is 5.0. That is phenomenal. I mean, most people, oh, they dock you for something that doesn't really correlate to you, but then you're at like 4.9 or 4.8. No, you're at 5.0. And when you go through them, the thing that caught my eye was most people were like, hey, look, when we go show a house, when he shows me a house, he tells me the good and the bad about the house. And that's phenomenal, because that's what we ran into. Our realtor actually did the same thing with us. And especially our first time home buyer, you don't know what you're looking at. You're just basically, you're like a kid walking into a car. Oh, the radio works. But walking into a house and like our realtor was like, hey, look, you see this fog in the windows? Hey, that the seals on this are possibly broken, so you might have to replace all these windows.
So. Yeah, that's a really good point. So, you know, obviously every transaction is going to have an appraisal and an inspection, but a lot of that work to make sure that there's no hangups in that process is done during the showing and during the research on pricing, because you could be reasonably certain that, hey, this is going to be an issue that comes up. Are you guys okay with it? Are the sellers going to be responsive to it? Do we address that prior to when we're talking to that agent and say, hey, what do your clients feel about this? Or what do your sellers feel about this? So there's a big amount of work that goes into prior to writing an offer to make sure there are no pitfalls during the transaction process.
And then what areas do you guys, or do you normally focus, you and your team?
So, you know, real estate 20 years ago used to be, you know, hey, I need to know the main street there. I need to know each restaurant. I need to know all about the area. But now with the internet, there's so much data available, and you know, my background being econ, I can review that data and give a reasonably certain understanding of what pricing should be with the client. Review it with the client; they can see exactly what I'm seeing. We talk about it, and so I'm able to service just about every area. I've sold in Greensburg this year. I've sold all the way up in Atlanta, Indiana, all the way out to Knightstown. I've sold all the way to Pittsburgh. So all around the area. Mostly, I deal with north side of Indianapolis. And if you look at where the growth is, that's most people are working as it is. So like in Hancock, Hamilton, Boone counties, that's kind of where my bread and butter is, but that's where all the growth around Indianapolis is as well.
So you really know the market. And that's one of those things that really sets somebody apart, because for whether you're buying a home or you're selling a home, you need somebody who really knows the market. And I'm going to go back to your 70 homes your first year, because it blows me away. That's unbelievable. I don't know. It's just a huge number for somebody. But what it means to me is that's like a normal agent, probably 5-6 years of business. So that's what you did in the first year. So you learned that much quicker. That's kind of my point. You got to understand the markets. You already knew Indianapolis because you were living here. You worked in Carmel. I don't know where you lived at that point, but you already knew the area, so you understood the area. And then you did that, so you really learned the area and what's important to people.
Correct. Yeah, so not only the area, but I saw that many inspection responses. I saw that many appraisals. I saw that many low appraisals in 1 month. And I think 2017, I had 8 low appraisals in 1 month. So, you know, how do you navigate that situation? And again, it just goes back to, you know, usually you have a buyer that wants to buy, you have a seller that wants to sell. How do we get to the closing table and make sure all parties are in good standing and happy about the transaction?
Yeah. So when you do that, if you're the listing agent, how do you work? What's the way that you work through that with somebody?
Well, you know, obviously, when I first meet anybody, whether it's a buyer or seller, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about the process. And we're going to have a good conversation to make sure everyone's on the same page, all questions are answered, and we've gone through that. So it's not like a deer in headlights. You know, when people first contact me, especially buyers, they want to go see a home right away. And I'm like, well, here's the thing. You've been looking online. You've looked at 50, 60 homes. You picked out this one. So you've already qualified all those. There's a good likelihood you're going to like this home and you're going to want to write on it. Let's not be a deer in headlights and not know how the process works prior to writing. Let's sit down and talk about it, go through the Indiana Purchase Agreement. Let's talk about what the appraisal process looks like, what the inspection process looks like, what happens you know, if things start to go badly. And let's talk through that so you are educated prior to ever even going and looking at a home. And same thing with selling. We want to talk about timing. What's your goals? When is the best time to list? You know, we're coming into that season where if a seller comes to me and there's no real urgency, I don't like listing a home between Thanksgiving and Christmas because there's a lot of buyers that have packed it up. They got their Christmas parties with their, you know, their employer. They got their family in-law party, especially coming out of COVID here where Christmas parties maybe not even been a thing for the last 2 years. Those are going to be crucially important. So when you don't necessarily want to list in that point, but I'm telling buyers, hey, if you have some time, let's go look now before the spring market picks back up. It's slow right around this time every year. You may have a seller, if they're listing right now, odds are they're very motivated. So we have a chance of maybe getting in. Well, everyone else is zigging, we're going to zag. So it's all about knowing the market, knowing the ebbs and flows of the market, and getting your client in the best position possible.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's a lot of agents out there in this market because we just came out of a different market that are freaking out, especially if they haven't had a lot of time in the business. But you're obviously not freaking out. You've been through it. You know it. You've seen it, and you know exactly how this market works.
Correct. Yes, it is. People are freaking out. Yes, rates are higher. I have 10 pending homes right now. So it is definitely not slowing, in my opinion, in terms of if you look at nationally, yeah, their home sales are way down. Indianapolis, home sales are down, but typically we have about 8,000 homes on the market right around now. Today, we have about 5,500 homes, so we're still 30% low inventory. So what that's telling me is inventory is not built up for the spring market that's going to be coming, and it is going to be hot again.
Awesome. And we are, the radio show is ending, so we do appreciate everybody on the radio joining us. And how would they get a hold of you, Brian, if they needed to talk with you?
Yeah, so my number is 219-776-0622, and my email is brian@listingindy.com, B-R-Y-A-N @listingindy.com.
And if you need to get a hold of Ian or I, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com.